This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
NBA Team Podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Andrew Reich. I am joined by my co-host who has got a much nicer voice than me today, Adam Murray. How you doing, Adam?
My voice isn't too much better. It is flu season. The flu shot didn't do too well, so we're both kind of a little under the weather this week.
Yeah, I got it on the vocal side. I think a lot of people would be celebrating that right now, but I'm maining it through, unfortunately, for those who are listening. But if you are listening and you've been following us, thank you for joining in. Thank you for keeping up with us. You can follow us on our Twitter account, at P2BNBAteam. You can ask any questions. You can email everything to Adam if you have to. He'll go ahead and answer all those questions. I'm joking. And so we're gonna be catching up on everything in the regular season pretty soon. You know, Christmas is near. It's that time of year, and you know how everything gets going after the new year with the NBA and Christmas and the Christmas Day schedule, which is always a huge event. But right now we're gonna turn the clock back a little bit, and we're gonna be talking about a topic that's more of the retrospective nature, kind of like the one that we did previously, and that's gonna be titled The Other Guys. Now, this is not a review of the Mark Wahlberg, Will Ferrell movie that I absolutely don't like. Did you like that movie at all?
I thought it was good. What didn't you like about it?
I don't know. Like everyone laughs when Mark Wahlberg does the "I'm a peacock and you need to let me fly." I don't know. Adam McKay did that one. He did Anchorman. He did Step Brothers. I love those two movies. That one just didn't click with me. I guess it's Mark. I guess it's Marky Mark. He just the comedy just didn't mesh for me.
I thought they played off well. They played well off each other, and yeah, you're alone. You're alone on this one.
I think Justin likes it too, so he's gonna absolutely choke the hell out of me if he ever finds me because I made fun of the other guys. But in this case, the other guys, we're gonna be talking about those NBA players that joined NBA teams in order to win the NBA championship. I just said NBA three times, and so. I don't know. The thing that's interesting about the other guys, the guys that are kind of on the lower tier or sidekicks or third wheels or fifth wheels, you know, it's interesting because depending on the makeup of the roster, that can provide different roles, different levels of importance.
Yeah, it can. And, you know, some people, their goal for every professional athlete is to get the ring. I'm pretty sure most of them will trade in all their all-star appearances and all their awards just to have the ring. And
well, really, do you really think that? Do you think, like, let me give an example, Charles Barkley. Do you think Charles Barkley would rather have one ring than have a great 16-year career?
That's why I said most. And, you know, NBA is a little different. Like, NFL, I think, like, most every player would trade it in for the ring. And that's what they seem to say. But NBA, I think a majority would be like, you know what? I would take a couple years off my career to have a ring. Or, you know, I was busy chasing stats on a bad team. I could have been to a better team and been a team player. And
yeah, but here's the difference, I think, with the NFL and Major League Baseball and some of the other professional sports, I guess you could say, and in the NBA. And I think the difference is this. Those are team sports in which, you know, you have to work together to win a championship. That's fine. The thing in the NFL is it's a higher roster in terms of number of members, so it's easier for certain players to win a Super Bowl. Also, parity is much more available in the NFL and in Major League Baseball, for lack of a better term. Teams that can kind of come out of nowhere, out of the woodwork, and win a Super Bowl if everything goes right or if they get hot at the right time. And also, I don't think the media gets on players and Hall of Fame guys in the NFL, Major League Baseball, as much for not winning a World Series or a Super Bowl as they do in the NBA for not winning.
Yeah, I know. Like, everybody vilifies McGrady because he couldn't win one round of the playoffs. It's just like,
well, I do that.
You're not the only one. Usually, it's just you, but a lot of people, that was a knock on McGrady, and it's just, okay, you chased stats and you did your thing. Okay, no fault of your own.
Well, this goes all the way back to when Wilt Chamberlain... I mean, people think this happened starting in the 90s or the 2000s when people started obsessing over rings and who wins the Heisman Trophy and all, you know, who gets the hardware. But the truth is, this has been going on actually for quite a long time. I think this is the origin. I think it started with the Celtics dynasty and the fact that Bill Russell, Bob Cousy, John Havlicek, Tommy Heinsohn, Bill Sharman... all those guys were winning NBA championships. The same guys, the same roster, every year and every year. The only guys that won titles in between when Russell Celtics and Auerbach Celtics were winning was Bob Pettit's Hawks in St. Louis in the late 50s and that awesome, awesome Philadelphia 76ers team that won like 68 games. It was one of the only two titles that Wilt won, and Wilt was the guy that always had that hanging over his head. You can't win the big one. You know, we hear that in wrestling all the time, too, that kind of narrative, like with Daniel Bryan, Sami Zayn, you can't win the big one. Like, is that the reason why it's kind of a more of a movie plot?
It's. I think a lot of just creating storylines where you could try to find them.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily, you know, oh, you couldn't win the big one. You know, when you're going against Jordan's Bulls, you weren't going to win. We can't blame Malone and Stockton for not pulling off. You're playing against Michael Jordan, who just wasn't going to lose.
Yeah, but can you blame those guys for, at the tail end of their careers, joining rosters where they knew they could win? Like on
that's the tail end of the careers. That's the, I know I have nothing left. This is my last chance. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between, you know, the just obscure guys who later became good or later did something and just the, all right, this is my last year of doing something, so...
I'll give you an example. I was doing some research on basketballreference.com. If anybody needs anything for information or statistics on the NBA or college basketball or even baseball and football, reference.com is the way to go, sportsreference.com. It's not even a cheap plug. I really, really love the site. And I just noticed a new icon when I look into the years for some of these players. If they win a championship, even as a bit player, guess what they do? They put a little itty bitty ring, like a Bilbo Baggins ring, right next to the year. And it's like, it's almost like shoving it in your face. Like, you won a ring that year, you know, like Oprah. You get a ring, and you get a ring, you know?
Well, they've earned it, so they're forever.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, a lot of people would say, let me give you an example. Eddie Curry, you know, he joined the Heat in 2012 and won a title. A lot of people would say, well, Eddie Curry didn't deserve it. Yeah, but you weren't in practice. You weren't there watching him work and helping those stars get better. You know, a lot, you know, even like Pete Chilcutt, who won a championship with the Houston Rockets for 2 years. Everyone makes fun of Pete Chilcutt because he was a big, stubby white dude. But the truth is, he was Hakeem Olajuwon's backup, and he would have to fight him in practice and Otis Thorpe every day to make them better. And that's a part of the equation.
You could say whether they earned it or they didn't. It doesn't. They're on the team. They obviously get it. You know, we have our boy. We have a lot of obscure names, which we're going to get into. Of just people who are like, you really got one?
Yeah. We got quite a few. We're gonna blow your minds right now with some of these names because some of them I didn't even know they won a championship. I didn't know they were on the roster. Now, it's different from the regular season roster, like when you're trying to make the training camp. Sometimes you're on the training camp roster, you make it in the start of the season, but by the time you get to May, they have to make their cuts because I think you got to get down to about 14 or 15 players. And some guys basically can't join the playoff roster. You know, some of them just don't get put on there out of spite. I remember that happened with Terry Glenn when the Patriots won the Super Bowl, and Belichick purposely left him off the squad. And I'm trying to remember one in the NBA that happened not that long ago. You know who it was? It was Isaiah Ryder, J.R. Ryder. And you remember how he was with the Lakers in 2001? Well, the Lakers basically said, you know what, we don't want you around because you're a head case and you're a cancer to the locker room, so you're not going to win a title if we win one. You don't get a ring because you're not on the players' playoff active roster.
But he's still an NBA champion.
Yeah, but he wasn't on the roster when they won it.
You don't get the playoff ring, but you still have, you know, it's still under your Wikipedia page, you're a champion.
I played for the Lakers in 2001 and they won a title that year.
Yep.
Even though they didn't give you a ring and you weren't invited to the ceremony.
Well, that's just his case. Like, I believe Terry Glenn did get a ring in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And most of these guys...
You're a Patriots fan, so you know better than me.
I'm not a Patriots fan.
Yeah, you are.
No. I'm another depressed Saints fan.
You're a turncoat. You joined the Patriots now that the Saints suck.
No.
I did. No. I didn't turn on the Saints. I just don't care about them anymore.
I'll just wait for 3 years when the cap gets cleared up and we have a new quarterback.
Don't worry, when this episode comes out, they'll be back in the playoffs. But
it depends upon the player. JR didn't get one because he was just a shithead pretty much. But, you know, he didn't make the roster. Well, you're still going to get a ring because you helped us get to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends upon him. And he could still say, I was part of that championship team.
Yeah, and the thing that's actually easy for us when it comes to analyzing some of these things is that the truth is it's so singular in the NBA. If you look at the championships won based on franchises, I think only 9 of them have won a championship since 1980. So it's really, really easy to follow. What's not easy to follow, though, is which players joined what playoff rosters at different times. Because even though the names at the top stay the same and a lot of people become familiar based on how well they played, what shot, if they made a big shot like Steve Kerr did for the Bulls, those guys can be memorable. But it's the little guys that don't always get the most media attention, even if they didn't play a minute in the playoffs. If you were on the roster, like Adam Morrison was for the Lakers in 2009-2010, you won a ring.
Two-time champion.
Adam Morrison, two-time champion, one-time mustache.
Two times better than Barkley.
Oh, man. But that's a good point. It gets to a point where people say, oh, well, if Adam Morrison won rings, then he must have been either a better player than Barkley or a smarter player than Barkley by joining a better roster, which is just the dumbest. Obviously the smart fans will never think that, but you'll hear that on YouTube. Well, he won 2 titles. Fuck cares. He was a fucking bit player. He was a scrub, you know?
Yeah. But you know, in the end, J.R. Ryder could say he got, you know, he was in the team. Adam Morrison could have his rings held up with, you know, Darko. Darko sold his ring, but he has one.
Yeah, and you know how you know? When they go on eBay and you realize, okay, how did he... He obviously got that Darko ring because Darko sold his, you know. And then it gets really sad when you hear the stories about how... I don't remember which one that happened to, but one of the guys who won his ring, it was stolen out of his house. I think it was actually Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel had his Super Bowl ring stolen out of his house. And that, I mean, that sucks. I would never want that to happen to any player that's earned the highest prize in their sport or in their trade. And then just to come home and it's gone. That sucks.
Yeah. No arguments here.
For the Chicago Bulls, you know, they won the night. I mean, everybody knows this, obviously. They won the NBA championship 91, 92, 93, baseball, 96, 97, 98, won it all. The thing is, though, when you consider the other guys in your definition, because Michael had, I mean, obviously Chicago had Michael, Scotty, and then they had Rodman in the later years. But when you think of the other guys, Adam, when you think your definition of the guys, the role players, do you think of guys like Horace Grant, B.J. Armstrong, John Paxson, Tony Kukoc, or do you think of, like, go another step down?
No, it's another step down. Those guys were solid players who were still in the league afterwards. It's the, you know, the Robert Parrish who was like, he was there?
I can't believe that. He was the oldest player to win an NBA title. He was 43 years old in 1997.
You know, these are the guys at the end of the end of the end of the bench. And, you know, you could have obscure names, but who didn't really do anything. And,
you know, though, what's the fun part of the puzzle with some of these rosters when you stare at them on, like, basketballreference.com or ESPN.com, and then you actually watch the games if you remember back, you actually remember how valuable some of those players were, and it actually surprises you what guys wound up being a vital factor in some of these games and which ones didn't. Like, for example, I know not a lot of people are going to remember this guy, but Randy Brown was important because he was a backup point guard, and even though Michael was a ball handler a lot for the Bulls in the triangle, he was not the primary point guard. It was really Steve Kerr and sometimes Ron Harper. But if they decided to sit Kerr, Randy Brown would come in and play the point guard role.
Okay.
Because the triangle, you got like three guys. But you got to have two other guys, you know?
Yeah, you have other guys on the teams, but at what point did he really make his career memorable elsewhere?
Oh, he did.
I remember he was in the Celtics for like a year or two, I think.
Yeah, he played for the Kings for a long time before that. So he had been in the league for a little while before he went to Chicago.
It's just like, 10 years down the line, are we going to talk about Big Baby winning a ring? No, we're not. All these, eighth, nine men who didn't really distinguish themselves and somehow had a career, good for them. But, what has Randy Brown really done?
Well, nothing.
That's why. So how is he really, he got a ring? It's just, okay, Randy Brown got a ring. Let's have a golf clap for Randy Brown. He didn't make an impression on anybody. Everybody has a good game at some point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He could have been valuable with the team, but I just don't see it.
Do you remember Brian Williams in the early days, a.k.a. Bison Dele?
I remember him, and I remember his really it's a very interesting story.
It's
around
a sad, sad story. You're talking about the end of his life?
Yeah. Just the bizarre overdose in Mexico and the boat and
to try to help out anybody, it's so impossible. I don't even want to spend the podcast trying to explain it because you could probably read it on some website or maybe a story. But basically, Bison Dele, Brian Williams changed his name to Bison Dele to fit more of his native kinship. And he retired at the age of 30 because he had enough income to basically spend the rest of his life, he said. He goes overseas, and he goes on a boat trip with his wife and his brother. And the only guy that came back was his brother, who trailed off to Tijuana, Mexico, trying to spend his brother's money. Nobody found the bodies because they say that he may have dumped them in the Pacific Ocean, either execution style or he shot them and dumped them. Nobody really knows. And it's just very – and also the brother, like you were saying, overdosed in the jail and went comatose and died a few days later. So nobody knows what happened.
Yeah, it's just it's a very interesting read on that story.
It's incredible. And
it's like a movie. It's hard to believe. Like, it's crazy.
It is.
But yeah, it's just, okay, I remember him. Ooh, the Dickie Simpkins.
Yeah, but in 97, Brian Williams was, I remember him being vital inside. I mean, he had to play against Ostertag. He would bang it with Malone sometimes if Rodman was in foul trouble because Malone was a foul gobbler. I mean, he would foul out guys at randomly, and Rodman always was in foul trouble when they played the Jazz, so they had to play Brian Williams in 97, who they had picked up for basically a cup of coffee right before the playoffs. He was in a contract dispute with, I believe, the Clippers, and he decided to go to the Bulls, and I remember him because he was very important to that team. He really, really was.
Yeah, he was valuable, but again, they're just names. It's like, who was valuable for the Spurs last year? Patty Mills. Are we going to be talking about Patty Mills 10 years from now? No. He's going to be forgettable and dropped off the face of the earth.
Not in Australia.
Well, then let's move our podcast to Australia.
The NBA team, Mike. But I'm trying to remember some of the other ones from the Spurs team in 2014. There were quite a few, obviously. There's some other ones, Scotty Burrell. James Edwards was a really good player in Detroit, and he played in Chicago in 96. That was the year that they went 72-10 and destroyed everybody. And James Edwards played on that team, but in his earlier years in Detroit, he was a badass. He was a veteran. He was a mature veteran inside that was a big body.
Yeah, his best time was in Detroit.
Yeah, and then there was Rodney McRae. I remember him from Louisville. He was part of a group called the Doctors of Dunk, one of the legendary games in college basketball, was Louisville versus Houston. It was the game before NC State Houston. That was the infamous Lorenzo Charles dunk. Well, before that, Louisville played Houston, and they were the top two teams in the country in the Final Four. And they played a crazy, wild, fun, up-and-down game with nothing but dunks and crazy runs to the basket. And Rodney McRae was on that team for Louisville, and they called themselves the Doctors of Dunk, and Houston was Phi Slamma Jamma. Rodney McRae wound up going to the Houston Rockets, and he was actually drafted third by the Rockets, and Ralph Sampson was drafted first. And those were actually the first two big draft picks for the Rockets when they rebuilt that team. Olajuwon came a year later, and they went to the finals in 86 and lost. You know, so I remember Rodney McRae. I couldn't – when I read it, I think he won the title in 93. I couldn't believe he was on the team for the Bulls. I don't remember him.
Yeah, by that point, you know, he was getting older and, you know, it was already 10 years in the league and, you know, good for him.
What about our best friend Will Perdue?
He was there. That's all I could say about Will Perdue. I don't think anybody's ever given any statistical analysis on Will Perdue. Then, yes, he is also a member on these teams.
Yeah, well, he won three rings. And actually, he won another one with the Spurs in 99.
Yeah, he won a Spurs, but it's just, you know, name players and rosters. I can name 10, and he'd be always, like, the last name. It's just another non-distinguishable career. He put, you know, it's just an eighth, ninth man off the bench type guy.
You know, it's funny too, because when the Bulls broke up, obviously Michael retired, Scottie went to the Rockets, and Dennis Rodman started sleeping with Carmen Electra. And so what happened is everybody was wondering, oh, what's going to happen to those other Bulls team players that aren't going to stick around? And Bill Wennington stuck around, our best friend Randy Brown stuck around, and they were awful with Tim Floyd as a coach. But I remember everybody was following the money and saying, oh, look at this Bulls player. He's going to get a good payday here. Well, Judd Butchler went to the Detroit Pistons, never heard from again. Will Perdue and Steve Kerr went to the San Antonio Spurs. Perdue didn't really do much, but Kerr stuck around for a little while longer. I'm trying to remember some of the other names. Tony Kukoc went to the Philadelphia 76ers. I remember that. And Ron Harper went to the Lakers with Shaq and Kobe.
And none of them really did anything. And it's just like, you know, it's like the New England Patriots, who are apparently my team all of a sudden. Players leave. They get their big contracts. You don't hear from them. And then that's it.
Yeah.
It's just you have your three guys and you got a ring. Okay, Will Perdue, you're going to be on Trivial Pursuit now.
That's, yeah. Well, it's tough because
good for you. You know,
it's tough for those guys on that team because Phil Jackson's teams for Chicago. We talked about Michael. We talked about Scotty. But you know, we kind of touched a little bit on Horace Grant, B.J. Armstrong, Bill Cartwright. They had a team that was set up in which it wasn't really just two or three guys. You know, everybody was involved. So, unfortunately, for the little guys, the other guys that we're talking about today, they barely got any blow because Horace Grant was the one who was getting most of those minutes. B.J. Armstrong would get most of those minutes. And, you know, it kind of hurt them a little bit. Not the case, though, for the other team that won two championships in the 1990s, and that was the Houston Rockets. They had quite a few miscellaneous players, some of them whom were very, very vital to winning the title.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, do you remember any of them really outside of Olajuwon and Drexler?
There was Cassell. There was
Kenny Smith in his 7 threes.
Smith, Vernon Maxwell, I remember.
Mad Max. He was
crazy. And then there was a bunch of people who were cheering him from the bench.
I love Vernon Maxwell. He scored 30 points in a quarter in 1991. I think only like 8 players have ever done that before that or since. He faked a hamstring injury during the 95 playoffs that the Rockets won because he was jealous that Clyde Drexler would take all his minutes away. So he only played in one playoff game, and he said he had a hamstring pull, and he never played again, and the Rockets got him. This was the year after he was like the key guy in the small forward role when they won the title against the Knicks.
Yep.
It's just crazy. You know, Otis Thorpe was very vital to that team inside alongside Hakeem Olajuwon. I think he was part of the trade. He was actually part of a few really big trades, but the one that we're talking about now was when the one that brought Drexler over to Houston. and that was the tipping point for Houston to win another championship.
Well, he's more known for being part of the trade that got Detroit Darko.
Yeah, well,
that's basically
what happened is this. He also was late in his years. He was part of a trade where a sign and trade where Eddie Jones wanted to go to the Heat, but they had to do a sign and trade to make the cap work. So Eddie Jones went to the Heat. Jamal Mashburn went to the Hornets, and so did Anthony Mason. That worked out great for the Hornets because those two guys wound up really good, and Eddie Jones didn't. But what you're talking about is in 1997. Otis Thorpe played for the Pistons along with Grant Hill. And what happened is the Vancouver Grizzlies, God bless them, had a great idea. They wanted Otis Thorpe, but they decided that they would trade away their number one pick in the 2003 draft. So a draft pick 6 years down the road, who cares? Well, guess what? That turned out to be the best draft in the last 20 years, and they lost out on it. And the craziest part is the Pistons had this number two pick right after LeBron James, and who do they fucking take?
We could go on all day about the Darko and his situation and his confidence there. And
that's another guy who won a ring. He won it in 04.
Mello and Bosch and
this is the truth. I remember a lot of people saying at the time, right before, they said, Darko's just as important as LeBron and Mello in his rookie year because he won a ring. And LeBron and Carmelo's teams were losing teams.
Yeah, that's what people were just saying, and it was just like that's just a case of a bad fit for him. Did he have talent? Should he have gone two? Maybe that's a little high.
Well, Larry Brown hated rookies. I don't know why Joe Dumars was obsessed with playing him. He just fell in love with him one day. He said, okay, I need Darko.
That's basically it. And all the other positions were set. So we got this guy who can now be the stretch guy. I don't know.
Yeah. But Otis Thorpe 6 years in the past was the key component to what happened in the 2003 draft. It's insane. Mario Elie with his kiss of death. He hit that game-winning three against the Suns in Game 7 in 95. Do you remember anything about Mario Elie?
Not really.
You remember the kiss?
Vaguely. These Rocket teams, I wasn't into the Rockets, so it's just like, eh. Let's not watch TV right now.
Well, they were a very team. Matt Bullard, he was a stretch four. Scotty Brooks, who's now the head coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder, he was a backup point guard. They had a guy that came in. He played at NC State back in the day in the late 80s, but he was a good player. His name was Chucky Brown. He also holds the distinction, along with Jimmy Jackson and Tony Massenburg, as the only players that have played for 12 different teams in the NBA, which is a record.
That is a lot of teams, and you're good enough to stick around. They'll find room for you.
Because I just mentioned him, I'll go off track. Was Jimmy Jackson a good player?
The Dallas Mavericks, Jim Jackson?
Well, any Jim Jackson, because he was valuable everywhere he went, even though he couldn't find a home.
No, they're just journeymen. It's like Joe Smith. Was Joe Smith terrible? No, but they're just, they bounce around. You're not distinguishable, and you go in, you'll give your 7 points, 7 rebound game, and move on.
Mm-hmm. I do remember this guy from Venezuela. His name is Carl Herrera, and the reason why I remember him is this. Game 7 of the NBA Finals in 1994, by the way, if anybody wants to give it a read on placetobenation.com, we're going to be doing a retrospective of the year 1994, and it's going to be a blast. I did one about NBA Jam with Maurice Pogue, but I was doing some research about 1994, and I was actually rewatching Game 7 of the Finals between the Rockets and the Knicks. It's a terrible game, but I will say this, Herrera played really well in that game, and even though people aren't going to remember it, at the end of the day, if you really, really sit down and watch the game, the key guys are guys that you would never think of.
Well, yeah. Somebody's going to step up, sort of like Gary Neal for the Spurs.
Well, look, who was the guy that hit all the three-pointers when the Heat beat the Spurs in Game 7? It was Shane Battier. Who was the guy that made the game-clinching free throws for the Lakers when they went 7 games with the Celtics? It wasn't Kobe. It was guess who?
Robert Horry.
It was Sasha Vujacic.
I'm mixing up championships.
You're mixing up all those Celtics rings, huh? Yeah, I remember Vujicic was the guy who hit the free throws in 2010, and that put away the Celtics because it was a 4-point game with seconds to go. All I'm saying is that there are situations in which the star can't be the guy that does everything. You need to depend on somebody to do something, even though it's not the guy you expect all the time.
Well, yeah, everybody's supposed to step up when they're, you know, when they're.
What's your favorite situation? I mean, Robert Horry is the obvious answer for a lot of these, but who's one that comes up where you're like, man, that was a big play, and I didn't think he could do that.
It would just be Horry. He was the, you know, he did it year in, year out. I thought you'd say, who's your favorite obscure Houston Rocket? I'd be like, I don't know.
That's the answer. That's the right answer.
Only you know Carl Herrera.
Well, because I actually had to sit down and watch that game 7. I'll tell you one, and it'll help you out, and it'll refresh your memory because you're a Celtics fan, and that is this. In the second round, they went 7 games with Cleveland. LeBron and Paul Pierce had a crazy duel. They were both scoring up to 40 points on each other. It wasn't a great game. It was kind of a messy game. But what happened is Cleveland started mounting a comeback, and Boston couldn't score. And who was the guy that made a mid-range jump shot with nobody on him, a guy that could never make that shot in his sleep throughout his career? It was P.J. Brown. And I'll never forget watching, because he played for the Hornets. He grew up in Slidell. He's a good guy. But I remember watching that, thinking to myself, when he took the shot, I was like, no, 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 no. And then it goes in, and you're like, oh. You know?
He was the veteran pickup at the deadline.
So was Cassell. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're just the miscellaneous players for them. It was just, okay, we need to get some hired guns in. Let's get P.J. Brown.
Well, they tried to get Reggie Miller, but what Reggie said is, he said this on Open Court, he said that if he had gotten that call like a few months earlier, he would have gotten himself into playing shape well enough that he could have been able to at least play at the end of the regular season. That's what I think Ray Allen's doing. I think Ray Allen is just waiting until the playoffs start.
Oh, yeah, he's waiting to pick and choose his team now.
Yeah, P.J. Brown did the same thing. He sat at home in Slidell, and he got the call from Danny Ainge, hey, could you help us? Yeah, I can. But no one would think, okay, it's a clutch moment. You got this new big three at the time with Garnett, Pierce, Allen, Rajon Rondo is emerging. Who's the guy that really sinks the one dagger that keeps you in front for good? It's P.J. Brown, you know?
Yeah, it's... Random people hit big shots that time. It's just like, you know, James Posey hit some big shots. It's like, I remember him.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to James
Posey? That's what happens when you watch, like, those hardwood classics, and then you get that kind of, like, that little light in your head, like, oh, yeah, that guy. Like, that. These are the guys we're talking about right now. You know, everybody's going to remember Steve Kerr because he hit the game-winning shot in the 97 finals. That's an exception. You know, Robert Horry, game-winning shot against the Kings. He hit the game-winner against the Pistons in the finals in 05. Everybody remembers those guys. The guys that we're talking about are the guys that are like, huh? Like, really? That guy was on that team? Like, Tracy Murray. Tracy Murray was a decent player with the Wizards. He played for the Rockets team in 95 that won it all. I don't think anybody – I didn't know that, you know. Jerome Kersey. Old-ass Jerome Kersey won an NBA title in 1999 for the Spurs.
Yeah.
I remember he was a beast in the early 90s.
But he was just old. He was always old.
He always even in his 20s, he looked old. You know, the Lakers, you see, the Phil Jackson comes in, Shaq and Kobe, the new dynamic duo, the new superstars, the new triangle, and they start winning their titles. Now, they had some guys that were kind of like out of nowhere. I don't want to say Glenn Rice was an other guy, but he was a bit of a third wheel because the moment they won the title and they were able to let him go, he was gone in a flash.
Yeah, he was just a hired gun for them. And, you know, the obscure ones for that era would definitely be Travis Knight.
Yeah, well, he was the backup center. I also remember A.C. Green was the starting power forward. The problem for the Lakers at the time is that, you know, you had Kobe, you had Ron Harper and Derek Fisher, who could kind of play the point guard spot. Brian Shaw was a veteran. They also had Glenn Rice, like we were just saying. But the one position that they could never stabilize was the power forward position. And that first year, A.C. Green would start. They would have to play Travis Knight sometimes in that role. And then in 01, they brought in Horace Grant, Horace Grant helps them win a title. And then the next year, it was, do you remember this guy? Samaki Walker.
Yeah, I remember him.
You remember his ugly suit when he played for Louisville and he got drafted in the NBA draft?
Yeah, he was somebody like, he never really put it together in NBA.
No,
he was supposed to be like, you know, the next big thing, and
yeah, sort of crept out. The only thing I remember about Samaki Walker is this: when the Lakers played the Kings in Game 4, everybody remembers the Robert Horry shot. What they don't remember is that the Lakers were down 20 points early in that game, and at the end of the first quarter, Walker hit a half court shot. Well, this was right before they had allowed instant replay for last-second shots in the NBA. So whatever was called was called. And he was definitely late on the shot, but they called it. And I remember a lot of people being really upset, saying that that should have been one of the main reasons why they should have instant replay, because if that shot didn't count – I don't agree with this, but a lot of people would say, well, that shot shouldn't count and the Lakers should have lost. Well, it doesn't fucking work that way, because things go differently depending on if you're down 3 or down 6 – at whatever point in the game. The game's not going to be played the same way. You know?
Exactly.
You know, it's that's a stupid hypothesis. But I do remember Walker hitting that half-court shot in that great Game 4 in the 0-2 Western Conference Finals, you know. Mitch Richmond, you know, he barely played in on that same Laker team in 2002. Lindsey Hunter, he was a backup point guard. I don't know why, but he wasn't happy there. And when he played for the 04 Pistons, he took a lot of pleasure in beating the piss out of the Lakers.
Mitch Richmond, you know, he was running out of steam at that point, so
he had a great career though.
He did have a good career. We mentioned him on the top 50 or the next top 10 list. And Lindsey Hunter was, I don't know what happened with him and the Lakers. It was like, yeah, it was very odd that he was really angry at them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether somebody had promised him something or he thought something. I don't know, but
maybe Phil just didn't like him,
which could easily have been the case.
You know, Mark Madsen and his ridiculous dancing.
Yep, that he has his rings, and then he just danced, and then he does not do any. He got his rings. Good for him. That's all I'm going to say.
Tyronn Lue, who started out as an assistant coach with the Doc Rivers. Now he's an assistant coach under David Blatt in Cleveland. But everybody remembers AI, whoop, whoop, and the fadeaway on the baseline.
Well, I remember Tyronn Lue because he has no chin.
And those weird cornrows, man. His cornrows were so tight. I was like, God, man. He works on that longer than his game.
That's what it seemed like. Like, he knew he was never going to play, so he's like, I'm just going to look good on the bench here.
Yeah, but he was a spark plug, and he could shoot. You know, he was wasn't a terrible player. You know, Adam Morrison was a terrible player. DJ Bingo was a terrible player, you know. Now that we're talking about the 2009-2010 teams, we're flashing forward for the Lakers, because, you know, that was a team that had Kobe still, but they had Pau Gasol, Lamar Odom. Would you consider Trevor Ariza one of those other guys?
Or no.
Was he a key part?
He wasn't a key part. He wasn't other. He's just sort of miscellaneous. You know, he turned it on that one. And, you know, by that point, when he got to the Lakers, he was already damaged goods, because people already said, you know, it was his back or his foot. But they said, like, oh, he's done. He only has a few more years left. And, you know, he proved everybody wrong. But he's still, you know, he's tearing it up in Houston right now,
mm-hmm.
being the third wheel. So it's not like he faded to obscurity after that.
Well, I thought he was playing for a contract year, and then he goes to Houston and proves me wrong. You know, it's like, I saw him in New Orleans, and he just didn't really do much. And then, you know, now that he knows that he could play for a title again, it's like, oh, here you go. You're back to where you were before. Man, that Miami Heat team in 2006. There's just tons of these guys, dude.
Yeah, that was just all hired guns. That was just all miscellaneous. Who wants a ring? We're going to chase
it. Exactly. The Boston Celtics in 08 were kind of similar. It was like, hey, you want to hop on the bandwagon? Sure, sure, sure. And I think the same way with the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat in 2011, in 2012, 2013, it kind of felt the same way. You know, you get a Battier here, a Rashard Lewis there, here a Beasley, there a Beasley. You know, but the truth is, in 2006, that was a year where there was just a lot of miscellaneous guys. Now, I want to exclude Alonzo Mourning and Gary Payton. Now, that stands out because those were the only championships that those two guys won in their Hall of Fame careers. But they were valuable players still by that point in their
Yeah, but they bought their ring. That was the we're going there because we want a ring, which, you know, we know our careers are done. We know we can't just we're sacrificing our paycheck for the ring.
You mentioned James Posey. I gotta remind you of the shimmy, Antoine Walker.
Antoine, yep, that was like, oh yeah, he was part of that team.
Well, he was a big part. He was their power forward who shot threes, you know.
Now he's broken in Puerto Rico.
White chocolate Jason Williams, he was the starting point guard for an NBA championship team.
Yeah, he wasn't a bad player. He just had an attitude problem.
No, but it seemed like he cleaned up his act a little bit when he got to Miami. Like, okay, I got to get serious. I have to play like a real point guard. You know, the thing with Dwayne Wade is that when you look at it farther and farther, it really was a one-man show with Dwayne Wade. You know, he had a lot of help. He did have help from guys like Zoe, Peyton, Walker, Shaquille O'Neal, who was on the decline at the time. But if you really look back on that series, I mean, Dwayne Wade was running that team. And yep. It clouds your judgment of the other guys even more.
Yeah, that's like, oh, they have, you know, Derek Anderson's on that team. But yeah, you're playing behind Wade, so... Mm-hmm. Wade wasn't coming off the court anytime.
No, Michael Doliak. I mean, I don't even remember him on the team. Jason Capono, I remember playing for the Heat. I don't remember playing for the Heat that year. Are there any recent ones on these Miami teams that, I mean, obviously the big three era there is over now. They're not terrible, but it does feel like a bit of a eulogy. But do you remember any of those other guys that kind of stand out from that team? Maybe a Mario Chalmers or James Jones.
Well, we have Juwan Howard.
Yeah, but he didn't do much.
But he still won a ring.
Yeah.
He's still, you know, Ronnie Turioff. He's, you know, he's just a banger. I don't even know where he is now. Is he still in the league?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure he didn't make a roster. Now I don't know.
Because he was just somebody, you know, he'll give you 15 minutes, he'll hustle, and then foul out.
Well,
and
remember, he played for the Lakers, but he was traded right before they won their title in 09. So he didn't have a ring before he went to Miami. You know, he had experience playing with Kobe, but that was it. Eddie Curry has a ring. I'm trying to remember. The one that came really close is that McGrady played for the Spurs in 2013. He had actually played in China.
He played for the Spurs, to win, lost out.
He told a great story on the bench about the Ray Allen shot when they thought they were going to win and how he really, really felt like this was going to be the greatest day of his life, and then it's all taken away. And the saddest part for him, there was nothing he could do. It was such a sad story, but you know, I hate to poo-poo on Tracy McGrady, but you know, he tried what he could. You know, he did what he could.
He did, and you know, he didn't win it, but who did?
Rashard Lewis was the best player on that Orlando team in 09.
Yeah, you know, but that was 4 years ago, and injuries and age caught up to him, and he was just a bit player.
Yeah. And so I'm trying to remember. Do you remember some of the ones from maybe the early 2000s with those Spurs teams? Because the Spurs spread out their titles. You know, they spread it like butter. They had 99, then they had 2003, 2005, 2007. You know,
well, we got Glenn Robinson.
Central cast is the same, but what's that?
Glenn Robinson.
The big dog, yeah.
The big dog.
Yeah, it's sad that he fell that far down that quickly. Because in 2000, he was like an all-star. He was a beast.
He was still a beast. You know, that was one of the many reasons why they need a draft cap, because he's coming in saying, I want $100 million straight out of college. And it's like, huh? You know, people forget, you know, how quick he fell off. But he's still a champion. Jacques Vaughn.
He's the head coach now of the Orlando Magic. He was a good college player in Kansas, but, you know, I didn't think of much of him as a player. You remember Speedy Claxton?
Speedy Claxton, yes, the pride of Hofstra.
He was actually starting sometimes at point guard because, remember, Tony Parker was very, very young. He was only a second-year player. So Popovich didn't trust him all the time. So he would play Speedy Claxton a lot. Malik Rose.
Malik Rose. Jackie Butler, the great high school player who won an NBA championship.
What team was that on?
Spurs.
Oh, wow. Man, Popovich must have had him in hiding.
That was the great Louis Scola trade that Hollinger backed.
Oh my God!
Read up on it.
They traded Scola for Jackie Butler?
Yeah, it was part of the package, and they're like, "You want this kid?" And John Hollinger is known as the guy who botched the Jackie Butler, Louis Scola trade.
Here's two guys that won in 03 together. Now, let me tell you, these guys were really good in their day. They both, I think, played for the Atlanta Hawks. One is Steve Smith, and the other is Kevin Willis. What do you remember? Now, let me ask you this. Everyone calls him Smitty now on Twitter and on NBA TV. Was his nickname at the time Smitty when he was an All-Star?
No.
I don't remember that.
I don't think so.
But, I mean, what do you remember about Steve Smith when he was with the Hawks? Or the Miami Heat?
I just remember him being there. He never really stood out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't... He was just another player. It was just like, okay, there he is. Steve Smith, did he have a couple championships, or...?
One. He won one title, and then after that year, he played for us. He played for the New Orleans Hornets. And then he played for Charlotte for a year or so, and then he retired.
Because like he was around for a long time. It's just he was always around.
He almost won one in 2000 because he played for that Blazers team that blew the 15-point lead.
That's he was part of the play, but it's just like I remember him in Atlanta Blazers. And he bounced around. He says, "Oh, it's Steve Smith. He's just one of those guys who's always in the league."
Mm-hmm. And Kevin Willis was another one of those guys. He's one of the career all-time guys in rebounding. I think he's in the top 10, maybe the top 15 all-time. He was a solid player. I mean, I wouldn't call him an all-time player. But he stuck around after that for another year. But Willis was on that team for San Antonio that won it all. It was their only rings throughout their career. But they had a really decorated career if you really look at the body of work. It was just weird that they were together on the bench, on the bottom of the bench, on that Spurs team when they won it all. It was almost like a favor being done by Popovich.
That's what it seems like.
You know, McGrady was the same way. I felt like it was kind of like just a favor being done.
It was just in case you could still, I could trust you.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm trying to remember, the Pistons had quite a few of those in 2004. You know, they obviously won back-to-back titles with the Bad Boys. But we're not going to be going that far back. We're talking about the 04 team. They had guys like Mehmet Okur.
Yeah, but they were...
Former All-Star at Mehmet Okur.
Yeah, they were valuable for what they were worth for what they were then. It wasn't... They weren't obscure. They're just like, you know, like we said with the Bulls, they're just random names.
Yeah, Eldon Campbell. Eldon Campbell was a good player in the 90s. He played for the Hornets. He played for the Lakers. I remember him very well. But he, by the time he played for the Larry Brown, I mean, his best days were behind him, but he was still pretty good. I remember Mike James. We talked about Lindsey Hunter already. I'm trying to remember a couple other names that were on that Pistons team. There were quite a few of them. Obviously, it was a nameless team as it was from the starting lineup because none of those guys were superstars.
Yeah, that's why it's just like how can you be obscure if you're just your entire team is nameless? And like they didn't get anybody. They didn't go out and pick up anybody at the deadline. It's just, these are our guys. We're going to stick with them for years to come, and in some cases for too long.
Yes,
but
pretty much so.
You know,
The other guy, when I think about it, the 2011 Dallas team had quite a few of them.
Brian Cardinal
made threes in that series. I remember that.
Yeah, he was also the reason that the NBA wasn't doing so well because Golden State
got paid by Memphis way too
Memphis,
much.
Memphis, yeah, 7 years, $56 million. Everyone's like, why? Mark Blunt got like $42 million. It's just like, why are you paying these guys? These guys are garbage.
Yeah, Deshaun Stevenson, who he was a high school to pro guy who kind of worked himself out by the end. Bit of an antagonist.
Peja
Stojanovic. Would you call Jason Terry? I can't say it because Jason Terry was really important in that team.
No, because he's still pulling up six men of the year.
Yeah. Peja, just kind of. Here's the funny thing about Stojakovic. Stojakovic had his contract bought out by New Orleans, and so he decides to go to Dallas. And he looked like he was washed up, and he kind of was, because I don't think he played another game after that. But what happened is he lit up the Thunder and the Lakers in the playoffs leading into the finals. What happened, though, is that they played Stojakovic a lot of minutes against LeBron, and Rick Carlisle realized it was a bad matchup. So what he did is he sat Stojakovic for almost the entire series and played Marion most of the minutes, which was a good move because Marion and Stevenson really stymied LeBron a lot.
Yep.
You know, Brendan Haywood's another guy who I didn't really think much of. You know, maybe a solid center at best. But he won a championship there. He was a starting center at times.
Yeah, he was a starting center. Like, did he do anything really his career? No, but they're more miscellaneous than other guys.
J.J. Barea, who everybody remembers getting punched in the face by or elbowed by Andrew Bynum in that playoff series.
Yep.
Little spark plug. He's still in the – I think he's back with Dallas. Maybe not.
But, I think they just re-signed him, yeah, because they got rid of Gal McCalfrey.
Yeah, like the Wolves didn't want – the Wolves are basically on a fire sale. Like they're trying to get rid of Budinger, you know, and then they got rid of Barea, and then he turned right around and signed with Dallas. And then there was another trade that just recently happened. I can't remember. I'm trying to remember. It was a very, very, very small trade. Oh, it was Kirilenko. Kirilenko got sent to the Philadelphia 76ers.
He'll be there for a week, then cut, then he'll go to some contender. And
hey, his wife's got a lot to share, you know. The only way to solve misery is free love.
but just going back to the obscure players for a minute, Darrell Wright, another high school player.
Yeah, was that the Heat?
That was the Heat.
That was Miami 86. Okay.
He was the end bench, the end of the end of the end of the bench.
Yeah. You talk about Ime Udoka. A lot of people love him as an assistant coach. They think he's a bright mind. I remember LeBron actually name dropped him when they were asking what he was preparing for. He said, "I'm preparing for what Ime Udoka's got planned." But he played for the Spurs in 07 and in 08. But I don't think he played on any of the championship teams. You know, but as an assistant coach, he won a championship, you know.
Yeah, as a coach, but it was just like, when I saw his name, I'm like, really? I didn't even know he was out of the league because he's one of those players who...
There's a lot of ex-players that were coaches where you're like, what? Like, I didn't even think about that. Like, Bob McAdoo was like an assistant coach for the Heat for years. I don't think people even knew that.
Well, it's like right now for the Celtics, Walter McCarty's an assistant coach. It's like, but he wasn't a good player. What can he tell? What can he possibly
do? It's weird. Like, let me give you a wrestling example just to nerd out on you. Like, their top agents are guys like Billy Kidman, Dean Malenko, BG James, known as the Road Dog. Billy Gunn. Are they like the most talented wrestlers ever? Not really. But are they going to be able to like give them some wise words every now and then to the young guys to try to perform better? Maybe put them in a spot to do well? Maybe so. Maybe it's the same reason, I guess, Adam, why some guys are not don't wind up being good players but wind up being great coaches.
Yeah.
It's weird. But, oh wow, Scott Pollard won a title in 08. So did Eddie House. Wow.
Yep, Scott Pollard, Eddie House, who will, you know, take 40 shots whether you want him to
Wasn't Eddie House the guy that made all those threes in game 4 when they had to come back against LA?
He very well could have been.
Cause it was him and James Posey and Ray Allen.
He was known to catch on fire and... You know, it's like Eddie House, you know, he was on for, I think he was there, but Eddie House was just he was like in the league for 10 years and played for like 10 teams, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Every year he was just somewhere else.
He played for the Heat in 2011. He actually started game 6 because they had to sit Mike Bibby. Because Mike Bibby was playing so poorly that they put in House as a desperation move. It was kind of like when they played Tony Douglas late in that final series just recently when the Heat played the Spurs. Chalmers was playing so badly, and Cole too, that they put in Tony Douglas. And that was like a white flag. That was like, okay, I quit.
You know? Pretty much. But just, you know, a lot of these guys, they all have different reasons for it. Some were there. Some came from China, and they figured that's my best bet. And you can't really speak bad on any of them because in the end they do have their rings. Whether they deserved it or whether they didn't, they still showed up every day and they weren't a bonehead like J.R. Ryder.
Yeah. And you know what's fun about the other guys is that it's always replenished. Like every year, even if it's the same thing. Like say, for example, the Thunder win the NBA title. Well, there's going to be guys at the bottom of the roster like a Nick Collison, a Mitch McGarry, guys that you wouldn't think of that are going to win and they're going to have an NBA championship. You know, the same thing for the San Antonio Spurs. There's always roster maneuvers, even for the most stable franchises. There's always player movement. There's always one or two players that get moved around. And there's always that one that kind of sneaks in. It's like, oh, wow, you really did win a championship. You know, you're basically a walking trivia question.
Yeah.
You know, and it continues. The trivia continues. You know, I'll give you a few of these just to finish off. I'll give you a few of these all-star game rosters. And I just saw a few names that these are going to really take you back. I'll go about as far back as like the early 90s. I'm going to just throw you a few names.
Just a quick thing about the All-Star. The All-Star game is just weird. You only have to be good for really half a season.
Yeah, you only have to be good until February. And also, a lot of these guys, especially superstars, they don't want to play all the time. So they'll say that they're injured, and that's when the replacement comes in.
Yeah, and it's just – yeah, that's you get the – many names afterwards, and I don't know, some of them I disagree with you on, like the newer guys, like...
Well, yeah, that's true, but let's go to early 90s, like guys like
okay.
The late Kevin Duckworth, I mean, good defensive center in Portland, but I don't remember him. Ricky Pierce, I remember he played for the Bucks and the Sonics, don't know much about him. Do you remember Ricky Pierce?
Nope. No. I know he was a combination of Ricky Davis and Paul Pierce, maybe?
That's a good comparison. Hersey Hawkins, he was an incredible scorer at Bradley. He's like top five all-time in college scoring, but he played for the Sixers that year in 1991. Reggie Lewis, rest in peace. It's such a shame what happened to him. Heart problem, and he died of cardiac arrest. Michael Adams, you remember Michael Adams from the Nuggets?
Nope.
Oh, he was a little guy, and he had a funky shot, but he was a really, really good offensive player. He could fill it up fast, and he played under Paul Westhead, who didn't believe in defense. So they would just run, and run some more. And Michael Adams was, like, the top scorer on that team, so he averaged, like, 28 points a game.
Nope. Don't remember him, but I know his cousin Sam Adams.
and his cousin Boston Lager. Sean Elliott. I don't know. Sean Elliott, you consider him another guy?
He was
missile. He had a huge shot against the Blazers on Memorial Day in 99.
Yeah, he was there. You know, Sean Elliott, he's been around.
Mm-hmm.
So he kept it going.
Kenny Anderson, Derek Coleman, the future was bright in New Jersey before Drazen Petrovic died in that car accident.
You could say it was, but in 95 they drafted, or it was 96, they drafted Yinka
Darre.
So mm-hmm. their bright future went south really fast.
And then they hired John Calipari, and it was, ugh. This is actually a guy who played for Calipari on that Nets team, Chris Gatling. 1997, played at Old Dominion. You remember Chris Gatling?
No, I don't. I can't. No, I don't remember. I was more into college in that time, so.
Gatling.
I don't.
I barely remember him. Christian Laettner was a college stud. He had good years, though, in Atlanta. I don't want to completely poo-poo on Christian Laettner.
No, he was solid. Was he, you know, all-star worthy? He obviously, because he made it.
Yeah, our best buddy, the Googs, Tom Gugliotta. Played at NC State, had some good years with the Minnesota Timberwolves, I think. Terrell Brandon backed up Mark Price for years in Cleveland. When Mark Price left Cleveland, Brandon got the start, and they became a defensively-minded team under Mike Fratello. Brandon was a really good defensive point guard, but I just felt like he was the best guard in an era where there were no good point guards.
Yeah, that was before the...
The influx. That we
yes,
talked about. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, Vin Baker being the All-Star four freaking times.
Well, he was really good.
No, he wasn't.
In Seattle, he was good. Or am I thinking Milwaukee?
Milwaukee and Seattle. He had one good year in Seattle. He actually made the Olympic team in 2000.
Yeah, he was good, and then just, you know, he became an alcoholic, which is a tragic tale, and that the end of that tale, but he was good in the start of his career.
Yeah, he went four times. His first one was in 1995. Dana Barros, I remember, he was a 95 All-Star. I remember Kenny Smith telling a story about how he hated playing against Dana Barros because he was such a hot shooter. He would come in and just, like, light you up fast. He was kind of like Michael Adams.
Yeah,
Dana Barros. He was a Boston College guy, right?
Barros, I'm not sure where he went.
I can't remember. I know he played for the Celtics for a little while.
Yeah, he was on the Celtics for a couple of years, 3-4 years maybe.
Yeah, we have Survivor star Clifford Robinson, Uncle Cliffy, also known as the guy that was hanging his head when Michael did the shrug after he hit his like 28-3 in the NBA Finals against the Blazers. I always remember that with Clifford Robinson. Charles Oakley was a badass motherfucker. You did not want to fuck with Charles Oakley.
Yeah, he played with a mean streak.
Oh my God, I remember when he fought. He said there's a story about him bitch slapping Charles Oakley. Or Charles Oakley bitch slapping himself. That'd be awesome. But no, Oakley bitch slapped Charles Barkley at one of the players' meetings when they were doing the negotiating for the collective bargaining agreement. Supposedly they got into an argument and he bitch slapped Charles Barkley. Don't know if that's true or not.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was or wasn't.
What about Mookie Blaylock?
He was. Okay, I'm like,
he was the original band name for Pearl Jam.
Okay, I'm not much of a Pearl Jam fan, so I'll take your word on that. And now, like, you get them in the later years, they're just getting miscellaneous players, and the talent pool really sort of begins to dwindle. Yeah,
Jason Williams, the one that shot the limo driver. Nick Van Exel and Eddie Jones played on that Lakers team. And what happened is they got swept by the Jazz, Shaq got mad, and they traded Van Exel and Eddie Jones almost immediately. And that's when, eventually, Phil Jackson got there, and they retooled the entire roster to surround Kobe and Shaq. But there was a time where it was Kobe, Shaq, Nick Van Exel, Eddie Jones, Eldon Campbell. They had a lot of pieces at the time.
Yeah, but they did. I can't argue with that. I was trying to think of a way to, but they had interchangeable players.
The Davises, Antonio and Dale, Anthony Mason. He was a bad boy in New York with the Knicks. Wally Szczerbiak. Wow, how did he make an All Star team?
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like when you get to the 2000s and you have the two new franchises, and
well, the talent was bare too.
It was you're getting people like the Stackhouses and the Steve Francis,
Brad Miller,
Sean Marion, Brad Miller, Vlade. Mm-hmm. You get players who are just good, and it really didn't mean that much anymore to get one.
Yeah, it was, you know, the fan vote's important to a degree. Like Grant Hill kept making the fan vote, even though he had a bad ankle and he never played.
Yeah. You know,
that was just a disparity between what the fans watch and what actual basketball.
Well, Yao Ming wins it every year. Kobe got it last year, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, he was injured. It's just they don't, you know, when you're getting nowadays, it's just like, can you really say they're obscure? You know, Szczerbiak was good and probably had one good year.
Yeah, well, here's the thing about obscurity today. You don't know it because you're so deep in the forest you can't see the trees. So we're not in an era yet where we can look back on, you know, like, say, for example, Andrew Bynum made the All-Star game in 2012. Is he going to become a giant trivia question? I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he isn't. Drew Holiday. I mean, his career's not over yet. You know, he's still there in New Orleans.
He's a youngin', so there's plenty of times. A lot of these people at the time, oh, well, can they get better? We don't know. Brandon Roy, he was an All-Star, and then...
Can we agree, though, that Mo Williams in 2009 is kind of like, what the hell?
No, because that's the same year Devin Harris made it.
Yeah, but Devin Harris was a backup point guard when they got to the finals in 06. I can forgive that. Mo Williams was basically Robin to LeBron's Batman in Cleveland. That's all he was.
Yeah, but it's just that year just seemed like everybody dropped out because how are you getting those people? Was that the same year as Gerald Wallace, too?
That was 2010. Also, Chris Kamen, your best friend, made the All-Star game in 2010 at Jerry's World. I bet he was probably laying back on the seats back then, too.
Yeah, he parlayed that into just chilling.
Yeah, he got a payday out of that, I think. You know, David Lee, too, he was in a contract year. You know, it's weird, too, because when you see these All-Star games, you realize, you know, a lot of these guys were on contract years. Antonio Davis in 2001. I think Zdrunas Ilgauskas in 2003 was in a contract year. I'm looking at a few of these.
Well, the thing about it, it's just like, we didn't know Jamal McGlure was terrible till like 5 years later. It was like, well, he was just an All-Star, so he can't be too bad, right?
Well, it's not just that. It's also the positions. Now, I think the NBA's gotten done a better job of letting guys, because they used to make you pick a center. Like, you have to pick a center. So, say, like, after Shaq, who do you pick? You know, well, you're going to have to pick, you know, the next best center. And if it's, you know, they'll consider, like, Kevin Garnett a power forward, not a center back then. So then, who's the next center down? Well, I mean, I guess it's, like, Vlade Divac. You know, so that's the next one down. You know, but they don't do that really anymore. I don't think they even have a center position on the back.
No, I think they got rid of it this year, thankfully.
Yeah, so now you can vote whoever you want, which makes a lot of these games a lot higher scoring, because you can get a lot more athletes and quicker dudes instead of having to play centers all the time. You know, because there are no centers in the NBA really anymore.
It's like, you know, last year DeMar DeRozan made it. Is that a bad pick or obscure? We won't know till 2024, really.
Exactly.
Now we could say,
yeah, like same, Matt Bullard winning the 1994 championship, like
Zerbiak and Sharif Abdur-Rahim, really?
Oh my god!
But we could say, like, at the same
Sharif
time,
Sharif went high in that '96 draft, though. That's one of the epic.
He went second.
Yeah.
You know, Elton Brand at the time, he was a beast then. So only, you know, when his body started breaking down, changed. But it's just, you know, okay, you put together a solid 50 games, you could become an All-Star.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so, you know, it's hard to really wrap this up for us, because it's, for the other guys, it's really hard to say, to bundle them all together, because they're all so different. They all have different situations. They're all different stages in their careers. Guys like Darrell Wright, they're just coming right out of high school, and boom, you get a ring. And then there are guys that are just so desperate to win a ring, like, for example, P.J. Brown. Like, they will do anything. They will scrub the floors in the locker room to win one. And for the All-Star guys that we talked about at the end of this episode, those are guys that, basically, like Adam was saying, they had their flash. They did well for their beginning in that season, and then either they stuck around and they made the most of it, or they just kind of slowly faded away, you know. But it's hard to watch these guys fade away. But that's the fun part about it, is that once you see these guys on these rosters disappear, there's a whole lot more ready to win a title, because it's so important to win one in the NBA, more so than in the other sports, that when you have that opportunity there, you have all these teams that are ready to win, and they're full of guys that are hungry and ready to go, even if they've never won a title.
Yeah, that's the thing, is if you're not going to be the obscure guy, somebody else will answer that phone and be like, yeah, I'll play for a month and try to win it for you.
Yeah. Now, what about if they didn't win a title? What about those missing rings?
Nobody will know. Mm-hmm. You picked the wrong team. That's basically, you know, Kenyon Martin, Tracy McGrady, and
Jeff Hornacek.
Hornacek, all those other guys.
Yeah, that'll be to be continued for another day. But that's going to be wrapping up this episode for the other guys. I know this one was a little bit of a unique format, but hopefully for y'all hung in there. Go ahead and read the placetobenation.com website. We have a lot of great 90s tournament. You have a 90s song that you listened to at work recently, Adam? Any of them?
The 90s?
Yeah.
Oh, I am. It's because it's winter. We'll go with Len Steal My Sunshine.
Oh, wow.
Because it's cold and snowy here, and
my voice is too hoarse for me to play the song.
No, but, just don't. Let's.
I remember, you know what I will say? That's from the soundtrack to one of my favorite movies ever called Go. That's going to be my suggestion for everybody. If anybody needs to has some time to spend, go ahead and watch the movie Go, either on demand or buy it for $5 on Amazon or something. Stars Sarah Polley, Tay Diggs, great movie, and Len Steele, My Sunshine, is played during a car chase, and it's just awesome.
And but, if you do go to Amazon, because Christmas is here, mm-hmm. you got gift cards, you still need to buy a gift.
Buy anything you need, and it doesn't matter if it's the movie Go, it doesn't matter if it's Macho Man Randy Savage's DVD, it could be Darko Milicic's ring, whatever you want to buy on Amazon.com, do it through the PlaceToBeNation.com website.
Just click through the link. Nobody's getting rich off this. This just provides money for web space and,
yes,
you know, lessens the bills.
All right, so who's the other guy on this podcast?
Still to be determined. The season is early. One of us will be the all-star, and one of us will just save it for just, as long as we both get rings. I'll be the other guy.
Well, I'm a peacock. You have to let me fly, dude. All right. On behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. We're gonna catch you on the bounce. We'll see you on Christmas.